Wilson Week on the Viking Red Zone Podcast. This episode, we go over the Week 9 matchup against the Nelsonville York Buckeyes. We also break down the biggest games of the week in the DVC. And we do all this with the Master Chief himself, head coach of the Benton County Viking football program, Jeff Downs. The Viking Red Zone is sponsored by J&K Contracting. One call, we do it all. It's a rivalry week in the TVC, so let's get this started with your hosts, Muggs Harold and Nathan Lamb, and our epic guest of the week, Coach Jeff Downs.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 10.1 of the Viking Red Zone Podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting with two locations in Jackson and Albany. One call does it all, 698-3521. I did not look at my notes.
It took me
10 episodes, but I finally remembered the number.
I was going to say that, too. I was like, holy crap, he's not even reading the paper.
That is correct.
One of our very last episodes, and you finally got it down, man.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, congratulations to me.
We're going to keep him for a year, so that's good. You got it memorized now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So, today's show is probably going to be the best show ever.
Yeah.
Because we have the... head coach.
The Master Chief.
That's a lot of pressure already.
This is as big as it gets for us.
Yeah.
I mean, you...
That's not saying a lot.
I was in school, you know, back your first time here. Mm-hmm. I graduated in 2005. So, you know, I was there and I witnessed the turnaround, which is the only way you can describe it.
Yeah.
And so you were like my idol. I mean, you were it. I was waiting on the statue. You know, for Lugs here, he looks at Coach O'Rourke the same way I look at you.
Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are right there for me, so.
Yeah, I was hoping some of that magic would rub off again this season to get us out of the gate fast, but it didn't happen.
Well.
So we're still putting it together.
We got time.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
We got a lot of young players, and we'll get into... Mm-hmm. We'll get into all that coming up in the coaches segment.
Yeah.
And so for now, let's just kick it off the same way we do every week. You got the junior high scores? You are worthless.
Yeah, that's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't have the junior high. I know that 7th grade beat Gallia. I know that, Gallia Academy.
Did they play Gallia Academy?
They played Gallia Academy,
yeah. Okay.
And they beat them. And everybody in Megs told me we was going to get killed, and we still beat them.
Well, so Megs is always wrong.
Yeah, they were like, oh, they gave us a game, and of course, Megs thinks they're awesome. So,
yeah.
So I say to my buddies down there, take that. But they ended up beating Wellston. Megs did. That's crazy. Anyway, so, and we lost to Nelsonville. The 8th grade lost to Nelsonville. Heck of a game. Went back and forth, had the lead. And, again, it was just like the Jackson game. They went back and forth, ended up losing at the end, but they went at it. That was a game where two good teams were just going head-to-head. And Nelsonville was undefeated. So.
And Nelsonville York didn't have a 7th grade team, right?
They did not have a 7th grade
team. So that's why we played
Galapagos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a combined team. So, but, yeah, it was, and it's fun to play on that turf anyway. It was really cool. So, like I said, it was a very good competitive game. They were undefeated,
well,
so
I mean,
we knew it was going to be a good
if
one.
If they're a combined team, that's, you know, you can take some 7th graders and play up and maybe make a difference. So that was
because every once in a while you got a few 7th graders that can do it.
Right. Yeah. So that's pretty impressive.
But I mean, it was a good year. I mean, you know, the 8th grade finished 4-4, but every game they lost was by less than a touchdown. Every game they were in that they lost.
Right. And they had a tough schedule this year too. They played a lot of tough teams.
Yeah, it was a tough schedule. And I know that teams like Athens. You know, Athens last year we barely beat them. This year they barely beat us. And that I always say, you know, no matter what you do, high school, junior high, or whatever. It always takes a little bit of things to go right your way when you're playing a good team.
Right, yeah.
It has to happen
anything
that way.
Anything can happen. It's just like the Bengals and Browns game today, you know.
Yeah, it took a lot to go right there for the Bengals, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but
fifth,
I don't know.
Fifth string quarterback.
Yeah. Who actually, Russ is pretty good. Where'd that come from, by the way?
I don't know.
Stanford quarterbacks.
Hey, he's smart. Yeah. That's one thing he's got going for him.
Yeah, he kind of quit running after a while. I think Burfick scared him.
Well, he got popped a few good times.
Yeah.
He did. I was surprised that he played the rest of the game because there was a couple times where I cringed. I actually quit watching it at halftime. I mean, we're only 7. I quit watching it. I turned on the race. This is Talladega.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I texted a couple friends at halftime and said, I'm going to jump off a cliff if we lose this game. That's what I did. So, very close to Vinton County. I think I'm okay. So,
sheep dip.
Sheep dip, yeah. Yeah, you just ain't in the water there, though.
Well, you can jump off the other side.
There you go. Yeah. Anyways, you know, we won, so it don't matter.
Okay.
We won.
All right. So, let's get back on track.
Okay. Yeah, let me just say for the seventh grade, they finished 6-2 this year. They had a heck of a season for the seventh grade, so they did an awesome job. Their only two losses came to Meigs and Jackson, and Jackson was a heck of a game. And Meigs is one loaded team. And that was their first competitive game. That seventh grade class went through the Little Vikes and just rolled people for years. So the first time they faced a competitive team was Meigs, and you know, they had to get over that little bit of a hump there. So that game wasn't quite as competitive. But then they went to Jackson. He's just as good as Meigs, and they give him everything they can handle.
Right. Sometimes a loss is good for you.
What I like about the middle school is that the 8th grade and 7th grade really complement each other. It looks like the 8th grade is loaded with linemen and a lot of skilled players in 7th grade. And we definitely need a good class of linemen coming through the high school.
We're big. And every team that the 8th grade played, that's all everybody says is, geez, you guys are huge.
Yep.
You're huge. And they are. Yeah. We got big linemen. We do. So
we got a lot of promise ahead. Mm-hmm. That's
good.
For sure.
Which in the seventh grade, like I said, the seventh grade's got 7 or 8 skilled kids that are even then we talked about Evan Spires before, really good quarterbacks coming up.
And you throw those two classes in with the freshmen and sophomores that we have starting varsity right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and mm-hmm. 3 or 4 years from now, this
freshman class is special. Just good people, good kids, good character. And I think they get it. They're winners, you know. So that really is. I mean, obviously, we're hoping next year for a big turnaround. But that freshman group, I really feel like that's our next special group.
And I've never seen. I mean, we've played a lot of freshmen over the last 10 years or so, just because of numbers issue. But I've never seen this many freshmen and sophomores playing and having such an impact.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to do it, to be honest with you. Where I went to school, one freshman started varsity and he played in the NFL. You know, it's just one of those things. We didn't move people up to JV. So I hate to play freshman because it's not fair to them. You know, but we've had some that definitely, you know, have contributed this year. And I'll be honest with you, there's a few more hanging on each week. We keep talking about maybe we could throw them out there, but. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we also want to keep them with the younger guys and develop down there, too. So, we're excited about that group.
It is. And that group, they went 5-2-1 last year in 8th grade, too. And they mm-hmm. competed for the TVC title, just had to beat Nelsonville. Barely lost, too. So, yeah, it's a good group that came in as freshmen, too. But I think a couple of the guys you're talking to, and I don't know if you're talking about them or not, but I know there's a few that have kind of the last few weeks. And, again, you know, you're freshmen, you want to have limited playing time, but I see, like, Logan Baker, Jonathan Vanover, mm-hmm. see a couple of them kids making a few plays here and there now that are getting some playing time that you didn't expect them to get much this year. So they look like they're, you know, they can be out there when they're needed to be, and now they move to sophomores. Right. So,
well, that's good. And I guess, to be fair, they're not really freshmen and sophomores at this point in the year. They're, you know, experience-wise.
They're more developed, you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can see it. I mean, you can definitely see.
Yeah,
I know the last couple weeks haven't gone our way, but you know there's been some plays made by some younger kids and older kids too. So you know, we don't want to leave anybody out, but
obviously, yep.
But we've got a huge game ahead of us this week, and we'll go ahead and get into the quickly. We'll go over the Nelsonville York game. Nelsonville York moves to 7-2 on the year, still undefeated in the TBC. They've given up 12 points in the last six games.
Yep.
Since they started league play, they've given up 2 scores. That's it.
Yeah.
So and they have one team left to play in Athens this Friday for the championship. Both teams coming undefeated, which we'll talk more about that later. But definitely a talented team, a team that turned it around from 1 year ago, going 1-9 for the first time ever. They had never finished last in the TVC until last year.
Really?
Yeah, that was the first time, and they've been in the league since 1970. That was the first time they'd ever finished last in the league, and they're going to turn around this year and battle in Week 10 for a first-place finish. So they could go last to first in 1 year.
I think somebody made them mad last year or something, right?
Well,
I don't know what happened.
I mean, they
had, on their shoulder.
Had injuries last year. You know, they go through the coaching issue midway through the season, and this year you got Rusty Richards coming in from Trimble, who had a lot of success, you know, in his own right there under Phil Ferris. I mean, they'd only played in a state title game a couple years prior. So, you know, the guy knows what it takes to win and you know, runs a similar style offense as Phil does at Trimble. And it's got the talent. We saw it. We saw it on the field Friday.
Definitely.
So just Lugs, go ahead and give some stats on the game.
Okay, yeah, Nelsonville, obviously we lost 41-0. It was actually our first shutout all season. First
time that's one thing I wanted to point out.
And we've known how well our offense has been all year, so that's a big credit to Nelsonville, just how good they are,
right?
Because our offense can score. Team stats, first downs, Vinton County had 5, Nelsonville had 17. Plays, we had 45 to their 46. Rushing yards, we only had 6. They had 403. Total yards, we had 62 to their 487. Third down conversions, which this is a number I didn't know until I looked it up. We were 0 for 11 on third down conversions. Wow,
that's awful.
They were 3 for 6. Time of possession wasn't quite as bad as I thought it would be either, because I know they're a big-time running team, you know. So,
yeah.
21-48 for us, 26-12 for them.
They threw the ball around a little bit more than I think they normally do.
Yeah.
And they threw out of the wishbone. Who does that?
I even told Bob and them this up there when we was doing stats. I was like, that warms my heart to see a wishbone on that field. I just was like, look at that. Is awesome, man. I loved it. I love seeing the wishbone again, man. That's my baby right there. I love it.
Yeah, you know it.
No, I sleep. I dream about the wishbone. I literally do. I run plays in my head at night about the wishbone. Okay, that's how much the wishbone's been bred into me. It's great. So I'm so happy to see that. All right, so we'll do some individual stats here, and then we'll talk about the game. So Nelsonville York rushing, Alex Mount, 10 plays, 185 yards and 3 touchdowns. I think we all know he's probably TVC Player of the Year.
I want to point out that is right on his average. That's what
he
said. Really? His average went from 13 even a carry to 13.3. So he is that was what you get every single week.
No matter who he plays,
that's what he gets. And I think he made a statement right from the get-go on that.
He did, and that play in particular. It was we were ready for that. We were actually begging them to go to that side. And we just – one of our guys didn't bump out enough. Nevin lost his footing, and he was gone.
Right.
You know, so we played without a safety because we knew we'd have to throw everybody at the run. But I really – we had really practiced for that play because we knew they would go to the weak side. And daggone it, they went right through us.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. They went right to the weak side of that
team.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was gone. It was a good run. So Noah Andrews, and I think this is probably the bigger surprise. I think we were more worried about Hunter Edwards than we were Noah. But we knew Noah was a good lead blocker. But rushing-wise, he's only had like 200-some yards, I think, all season rushing.
Right.
So he ended up with 9 carries, 129 yards, and a touchdown. And for a big bruiser back, that boy's got speed.
Yes, he does.
Out of his stance.
Yes.
He
was fast. And he wasn't Alex Mount fast, but he had wheels, man.
He could run over people.
Yeah.
And not that Mount can, because he's gotten a lot bigger the last couple years. But Andrews is just
exactly
a stud.
Passing Hunter Edwards, 5 for 9, 84 yards. I think we just talked about this a little bit. He did throw the ball some, but it was more of an efficient passing game than it was a big threat.
Well, and also Maiden threw some passes,
he
too.
He threw one, right? I think number
was
8.
It just
I think
one?
He had one. Maybe two. He might have had two, yeah.
Because I couldn't tell who was
that quarterback,
because their numbers looked identical.
8 and 9.
Yeah. And it was folded over. I couldn't tell. And
I actually argued with Timmy about that because he said number 8 passed out. I'm like, number 9's your quarterback. And he goes, number 8. And I'm like, are you sure?
Well, I know one play, Maiden actually passed it to Edwards. He didn't catch it, but he actually threw a pass to Edwards
on
the left side.
Was
I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, so receiving-wise, Aaron Davis, 1 reception, 31 yards. That was the main stats for them. Vinton County rushing, Hunter Nichols had 3 carries for 19 yards. Passing, Nalen Yates was 7 for 19 for 41 yards. And receiving was Hunter Nichols, 2 catches for 20 yards, and I think Jaden had 2 catches for 12 yards. Obviously, offensively, we struggled. It was a little bit of a bad weather game. Our field's a really good condition field, but obviously the weather got to it a little bit this week.
It poured so much the 2 days prior to that, and even that day. Mm-hmm. I think it quit raining at like 5 o'clock.
Yeah, it rained a little longer than expected.
Yeah, it poured all day. Yep. I mean, there was water stain on – it looked like Meg's old field. There was water stain on the sidelines.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
– it looks good a lot of times from the stands, but down on the field, it's sloppy.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and we've said this a few weeks ago. I mean, a lot of people don't realize it, but this field is 16 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got some age to it now.
Yeah.
It does sit low, if you notice, from where the baseball field is. It
right.
It's really well. Softball field doesn't drain as good. The football field's worse, you know. But it's still football. It's it's conditions. You just got to deal with it.
And both teams have to play in it.
Yeah,
that's one way to look at it, too.
But definitely.
I know Jeff, we're talking about the field, too. I think they are going to do some renovations to it this year, too. They're going to take some turf from around the sides and kind of redo it all and get it all back. Like I said, 16 years old.
Right.
It needs
a facelift. That's for sure.
But considering the weather, it was in great shape. I mean, you know it's going to be sloppy a little bit. But our field maintains pretty well throughout the season.
Well, just for the fact that we have grass everywhere and there's not a big patch of mud like you guys used to play in.
Yeah.
I mean, at River Valley it was
that
way. Alexander has been that way in the past.
Yeah.
And we're not trying to crack on anybody here. We're just saying, you know,
Sometimes we do.
Well, it is in decent shape. Well, Wilson was another one before they got before ESPN came in and renovated their field. That was another one in bad shape. But
yeah.
They got sprinklers now, so they're good.
Yeah, Randy Grayman does a great job taking care of the field for us.
Yes, he does. Yeah. All fields. Like you said, baseball. Yeah. Actually, baseball field was Southeast District Field of the Year, I think, in 2007 or something like that.
I think it was Jeremy Ward was taking care of the field.
He Jeremy was awesome at that. And whenever we would play, because he was obviously my coach, and he's actually now my uncle by marriage. So, yeah. But anyways, after practice, we would always, and I still do this to this day. Like I played in a softball league a couple years ago. After practice, we would always spend a little bit of time cleaning our area, and the outfielders we didn't have much to do because we didn't have to rake or anything. So we would always walk around the warning track or in the infield, and we'd pick up rocks and throw them out.
Yeah.
And so to this day, if I'm playing baseball or softball, anytime I walk through the infield, I pick up a rock and I'll throw. You know, it's just a habit. But he kept such good care of that field. It was awesome. It's still a nice field, but it was extra great back then. Man, it was good.
Mm-hmm. It was
so to steal the football thunder. You know,
yeah, it took it away from the Nelsonville there. Yeah, the Nelsonville game. So, which is okay, I think this week. So. And I know, like I said, we know Jeff, of course, is the head coach. You know, he's down on the field and everything. So,
right.
I mean. We assume Nelsonville is as advertised. We knew they were a good team. How did you evaluate Nelsonville in that game?
We knew we were gonna face a tough challenge up front. You know, they're just athletic and they're strong and quick. You know, but when we saw they were just gonna put six in the box against us, we did think we could run the ball a little bit, but the gaps closed down fast and obviously the stats show it. They shut us down fast and we probably the footing was a little bad for Nalen on the passing, but we probably should have stuck with the hitch routes a little bit more because they were open. We were gaining some ground there, and we just couldn't get into a flow after Jaden's big kickoff return. If we could have just punched it in there, I think we could have made things interesting. Kids would have really put up a fight, but. They shut us down fast, and we knew we'd have a tough time defensively stopping their run, and that's where we ended up.
Yeah. Well, I think Nelson Bjork coming into the game, you know, they obviously know we can score too, and I think you're right. When you know, that big kickoff return at the beginning of the game, I think everybody's eyes on that side of the field got kind of big, like, okay, well, hey, you know, if they punch it in here, this could be a shootout, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, and, you know, ultimately it wasn't, but at the same time, I think, you know, this is one of the first times that, because a lot of times we get into this part of the season over the last 10 years, we play a team like Nelsonville York. There's no doubt about it. They're going to win the game.
Yeah.
And I think, and not that they don't respect us, but I think this year was a little bit different. Like, hey, these guys can score. We really need to focus and play our best game because these guys could steal one here. And it's been a while since we've been able to say that. You know, about our team this late in the year against a championship team.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'll have those games. Anytime you, and Nelson York, you know, they beat Athens this week. Even if they don't beat Athens this week, they're probably going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a championship caliber playoff team, you know, that could easily win in the playoffs. I mean, that wasn't just run-of-the-mill decent team. That was an excellent
team. For a small school, they have a lot of depth.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
I mean, just the rotations they were bringing out in and out of the game. I was really surprised on how many bodies they were playing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, most of those guys are seniors. And
I think they are.
They'll graduate.
I think they are.
And they'll see a different Vick County team next year.
Yep.
And we'll see a different Nelsonville team.
Right.
And I think they had 49 on the roster. A D5 school with 49 kids.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big D5 roster, right. to be honest.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, 49 kids on this roster. And then, like I said, they got a great crop to choose from. And then we've heard rumors maybe even Trimble's combining with them at some point. Holy cow. What do you do then?
Well, if the state ever does consolidate, do another round of consolidations, I mean, that would be a logical one.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
And Nelson York has just renovated, you know, their high school and middle school, too.
Definitely.
So could it be going to that? You know, you never know.
Yeah, conspiracies. You know, we'll
I don't
see what
think
happens.
The people in Gloucester are ever going to want that.
No, and they're not because I.
Do they not like them? Is that like a
rock? Oh, yeah, they hate each
really?
Other. They hate each other with passion.
That. No kidding.
I have done some games. I've done games in Nelson, New York and in Gloucester, and that's the first thing I hear. I'll be doing Gloucester and Southern, And somebody be like, oh, Nelson Mayorga, I hate him. You know, and I'm like, what?
Just come out of the
yeah,
blue,
I mean, they just start running their mouths about each other, and it's the same way there. So
they
don't like each other.
Last year when they played, and when I went to, because we were away, of course, last year with Nelsonville, so I'm up there in the booth, and I'm talking to their, I think it's their assistant AD, I think. It's a blonde-haired, skinny guy, whatever he was, that was running it up there. And we were talking to him, and he was talking about Nelsonville and Trimble, where they played the first game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, he said, literally, he said, we begged them to come here and play at our place because they didn't want to go there. And Nelson was like, heck no, you're playing in our place. Or Trimble said, heck no, you're playing in our place. They told them they would give them the profits. They were trying to give them more of the profits. And then they were
which
like,
would have been
more money.
Because they have more seats.
Yeah. Trimble said, no, you're coming to our place and you're playing in Trimble's, what they told him. So, and then that's what they did. So,
well,
yeah.
And Trimble's in line to host another playoff game this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what do you – what? I want to.
That's what makes it fun when schools from you know Columbus area have to come down,
right.
And
they
you know, play at Trimble.
They drive. Wow. First off, they drive through Gloucester and they're like, are we in the right place?
And they pass the stadium. I guarantee you, they pass the stadium the first time
they get out.
There.
And they walk through the tunnel and it's like, oh my,
yeah,
what is this? How can these guys play football? But they do, and they usually win. So
can we say now? We hope we never put Trimble on our schedule. By the way, can
yeah,
we make sure
we
that doesn't happen?
I went there once with Federal Hockey. That was enough.
Oh
right.
yeah.
You won that game too. Didn't you?
I think that's the only time Federal Hockey's ever won there.
Wow,
and
that's awesome.
But it was intimidating. It was intimidating. For
yeah,
sure.
We'll talk a little bit about that too coming up. We'll know some stuff about that.
That's cool.
So is that gonna wrap it up for the Nelsonville?
Yeah, I think we've wrapped up. We've said enough good things about Nelsonville. We'll talk more about them later,
right.
I guess, right?
That's
so we know they're good.
That's all we can do now.
We'll see them next year. So.
Okay, so we'll be back with the TVC review next. Welcome back to episode 10.1 of the Viking Red Zone Podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting. One call does it all, 698-3521. It's the One Tactical Uniforms and Supplies TVC review. We'll go over what we did last week in our pick'ems and how the league did last week in week number 9.
The only thing that matters is this top row.
Well,
that's the only thing that matters.
Okay, you want to go ahead and give the give the records from last week?
Yeah. I'll do it. Well, you went 6-1. That was awesome, by the way.
6-1.
6-1, and I think I got text all night long from people. You and Jason both.
I didn't text you.
No, Jason was definitely blowing
up my
phone.
I was too cold to text.
So, but I went 3-4. One of my worst weeks right here. So I went 3-4.
That was sad.
To be honest, I thought I was worse. When I went through and said I had 3, I was like, yeah, I'm still in it.
I was hoping he was worse.
Yeah. So 6-1 for you, 3-4 for me. Jason Wall went 7-0. He's our best record of any guest that we've had. No pressure, Jeff, by the way. So the best record that we had. I know Ryan Stewart was 6-1, and I think Brad Rose was 6-1. So I think
Brad was 6-0.
Was he 6-0?
But we only picked 6 games in. So technically Wall still has it.
So Wall still got.
But they're
it,
the
so
only two to go undefeated.
The group right now
is
total
our butt.
It's 31-10. I technically have the most wins, so I'm still counting me. So 35-19
it's
is my record.
Percentage wise,
35-19 is my record. 34-20 is Nathan going into week 10. Now, our guests are whooping our butt, but we're battling it out for the pros here. See, so it's between me and you, and
we
I got a one game lead.
We got an unsweet tea from McDonald's on the line.
Yeah, right? We'll do it. I'll ski whatever you want. I don't care.
I'm
winning, so I don't have to worry about it.
Pop will kill you.
Yeah, sweet tea. Yeah.
Unsweet. Unsweet. I don't drink sweet tea. I drink unsweet tea.
Oh, okay. You know what my mom does when she goes through there? They know it. She wants her tea in a plastic cup with no ice and 2 Splenda. And all she has to do is talk into the microphone and say, I want a unsweetened tea in a plastic cup, and they know exactly how to make it. That's the weirdest thing ever. I don't watch that. Anyway, sorry, sidetracked. But anyway. So, yeah, sweet tea or tea, whatever kind of tea you want. I got you. I'm not going to lose anyway.
Yeah,
but
right.
6-1, so you got yourself back in it. You're only down one game.
I already know. I'm already making up a game on the Thursday show. I know I am.
I don't know. I got some interesting matchups this week, though. Yeah. I got some good ones
for
this one.
How many SEC schools have we got to pick from?
Dude, I don't think there's any this week.
Good.
Yeah.
No SEC. Yeah, their entire schedule.
But Wall has definitely made the group look good, by the way. So, definitely made the group look good. So, we give Wall a little bit of credit.
I think Wall somehow cheated. I don't know how, but he did.
Just for the record, he loved it so much, though. He wants to do it this week. So, I told him he could text me his answers. So, if he doesn't text me, he's not in it. He better text me because I don't think he's done it yet.
Well,
so,
if he texts you, we can change him because he won't have any way to
to prove it. Yeah, I can just say whatever I want, right? Right. Oh, he did send them to me.
Okay.
He sent them to me. So, he's in. I told him it's a fluke. Anybody can go 7-0 once. I mean, he says my 10-0 season was a fluke, so I'm going to say his 7-0 is a fluke. So we'll see if he can do it 2 years.
Still wasn't impressive as 8-2, though.
Somehow that math makes no sense. 8-2 is not.
Four playoff teams.
Yes.
Okay. Four playoff teams.
I will give, like I said, I'll give the 0-4 team the credit. Best team. It's hard to deny when you got the coach sitting here, too, by the way. What am I going to say? Let me bring Coach O'Rourke on here and let's see what you say about it. So, I'm kidding. Okay, so let's go over the games anyway. So let's see how the TVC did and our pick-ems overall. And
okay, before we do that, you mentioned Coach O'Rourke. Hillsboro picked up a huge win over
Who was it?
It wasn't Washington Courthouse. It was Miami Trace. They were 5-2 coming into the game. Mm-hmm. Hillsboro, I think, had two wins on the season. I think they were 2-6.
Yeah,
and they beat them. They beat a 5-2 Miami Trace team, so that was a good win for Hillsboro. They've scored points this year. Looks like they're going to turn the corner right before they go into the FAC conference next year, the Frontier Athletic Conference.
Yes,
that where they have an entire year to come up with this fantastic name for a conference, and they pick that. I don't know why. That's the dumbest name I've ever heard. Sorry. Travis, I know that you think that name is awesome, but it sucks.
Yeah.
Anyways, congratulations, Hillsboro. Let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it.
We'll just start. I'll just read through the college scores, and then we'll go in-depth on the high school. Alabama beats Texas A&M 33-14. Lugs, you're an idiot for picking Texas A&M. Auburn 56.
You got to take a chance somehow.
Yeah, you took plenty of them. Auburn 56, Arkansas 17. Is it 17?
Where are you at?
56-17.
Arkansas.
You don't have a score, though.
I don't have their score. It was bad.
Was it? 56 just, to whatever.
It was so bad I didn't write down what Arkansas did. It was like 12, I think, or something.
Yeah, so good job on that one.
Yeah.
LSU beats Ole Miss.
14, I don't know.
LSU beats Ole Miss 38-21. We both missed that one.
Yeah, see? There you go.
And in the, I guess, the high school maybe game of the week, Chillicothe beats Washington Courthouse 42-6. I told you that it would be an absolute murder.
Yeah, and I think I had it close.
I think you and Wall both had it fairly close, and I told you it wasn't even going to be a game.
Win's a win.
And I was right. I don't care.
Win's a win, right? Win's a win.
Okay, so we'll get into the league here on the One Tactical Uniform Supplies TVC review. We'll start in the non-conference week for Alexander, going to Trimble. Trimble most likely going to finish second to TVC Hocking, probably going to host another playoff game. Trimble beats them 55-13. Alexander falls to 1-8 on the season. I think Trimble is 7-2, I believe. They lost to Waterford, who is more than likely going to win the TVC Hocking, and obviously lost to Nelson York at the beginning of the season, 27-7 was the score of that game. So competitive. Trimble, always a good team. Alexander won this game last year. Obviously, Alexander won our league last year and beat Trimble, who won the TVC Hocking last year. So, Alexander lost a lot of players from last season, and Trimble just, it seems like it doesn't matter who they graduate. They're always going to be tough.
Yeah.
And so, Trimble comes out on top in that game in Alexander's non-conference week. Wellston defeats Meigs. A game that you were wrong.
I'm a little surprised about that one.
Well,
I'm not surprised they lost. I'm surprised they got beat down so bad.
Right. Wellston 43, Meigs 12.
Yeah.
Meigs actually had a 12-0 lead to start that game. I know they scored really, really quick out of the gates, and then they scored again. And, you know, that game obviously in Meigs. If you're Wellston, you're probably thinking, holy crap, you know, these were down by two touchdowns, and it's early in the game, you know.
And you know their field was crap.
Right.
It was a mess.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, for Wellston to come back after that, 43. Well, we've talked about Wellston being Jekyll and Hyde all year. One game they'll play awesome. the next game they'll play terrible. Yeah. And it was kind of the whole deal in one game this time, where in the first quarter they played bad, and in the rest of the game they just totally destroyed Megs.
Did you see their stats? Did you get to see how they did? I'm wondering if it's a running game.
I would imagine probably so. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just running it. So they just came back running.
And the conditions kind of favored running teams. You know, obviously in our game,
Megs is a little undersized.
Megs likes to air it out. They've got a lot of injuries. A lot of people playing that hasn't played all season. And you got Wellston that does the same thing every week. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it don't. And it did.
And to be honest, even when Megs is healthy, their defense still goes up 40 a game. So, I mean, they're still an offensive team even when they're healthy. So. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So, the last game from last week, closest game of the week, the Athens Bulldogs beat River Valley. Athens 25, River Valley 15. Athens moves to 7-2. River Valley falls to 6-3. Technically, River Valley, and we'll talk about this in the next segment, still alive for the playoffs. Athens definitely alive. They have set themselves up for a championship game. And how big of a game was this for Athens? Because you've got a team that a lot of people think you should beat, River Valley. How easy is it for them, and you can answer this as a coach and four players, how easy would it be to look ahead to that, you know, that gigantic matchup in Week 10 against Nelson-Vue York on your home field for a title? How much do you have to keep your players reeled in, you know, in terms of let's focus on this one game? And does it depend on the players?
We were hoping that would happen in Nelson-Vue York.
Right.
It's a trap game, and Coach Adams does a great job. And I think they've, you know, once they lost that Logan game, it's been must-win every week for them.
Right, clearly.
So, you know, that I was surprised that was as close as it was. I really thought Athens would get on River Valley.
I did too. I think one thing that proves is I think River Valley is definitely, and when we talk they've become a competitive team, not just for one season.
Coach Sparling is a great coach, man, and they've got a lot of young players.
I hate to say it. I mean, I wish they were
wrong. You know, I just want to point out that I did pick Athens, but I said it was going to be close.
I thought it was going to be a blowout.
Now, let me ask you this. I don't know if anybody's watched film on that game yet, but you see the score. You know what happened. You know the conditions. They're on turf. If that game's at River Valley, who wins that game?
I don't know.
It's closer. Isn't it closer?
It's tough.
Me personally, I'd like to have the River Valley game back because it felt like we didn't play very well and we didn't coach very well. But I wouldn't want to play Athens again this year.
No matter what field.
Okay.
So
I kind of feel that way, too.
I'm surprised, to be honest with you. All right. It says a lot about River Valley and the kind of fight they have. But I didn't read about it. I don't know if there were turnovers, what the situation was.
Right.
But
it was close the whole way.
Surprising.
It was close the whole way. Okay, so that's going to do it. One Tactical Uniform Supply CBC Review. We're done with that. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Coach about what he does.
Give him a little segment. Yep.
That's right. All right. All right, welcome back to episode 10.1 of the Viking Red Zone podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting. One call does it all. 698-3521 is their number. We thank them for sponsoring us all year. They've had plenty of opportunity to say, no, we don't want to be affiliated with you guys anymore.
Run.
So we appreciate that. right now, we're going to get into our guest segment of the week. This is especially cool for me because this is somebody that I've looked up to, you know, since I was a younger teenager, you know. Coach Downs, it's great that you came here on the show. I know we like to think like millions of people listen to this, but really it's not. It's hundreds. But it's still pretty cool. You know what I mean? It's still pretty cool, especially in a community like this, you know. We don't have big cities around here, you know, and you know, MacArthur is the biggest town here. We still have, you know, a lot of people listening. It's awesome to get people like you on the show and people like Wall on the show and people from the junior high and the Little Vikes. And it was our goal at the beginning of the year to try to get you late in the season because obviously we wanted to have you on the show at some point. And really the Wellston week was probably the best one ever. So, you know, because that's our rival and everything.
Definitely.
But what we usually do here is we usually give the – most of the time our guest is a former player, and we'll give their stats and stuff. You know, Lugs will pump them up a little bit, make them, you know.
Most of them don't need their heads any bigger, but we do help them. We try to help.
Anyways, so we're going to – obviously, you know, you didn't go to Vinton County High School in school. But a lot of people probably don't know because there's a lot of stuff I didn't know about you, where you were before, because you were always – history teacher Mr. Downs to me, you know. So I didn't know where you came from or what you did other than what you did when you were here and and past. So we've got some stuff that Lugs is going to read, just a few things, and then we'll get into some questions for
you. And obviously we're just digging up this information. We didn't ask you, so anything that we're wrong on, feel free to correct
us. Yeah, which we probably are.
We're nervous, right?
We're usually wrong. So. Okay, so anyway, so playing career for he went to high school in Middletown, Fenwick, graduated in 1989.
Yes,
I have no clue where that's at, by the way. So you have to fill us in on where that's at. Where exactly is Middletown, Fenwick?
Middletown is a steel town right smack dab in the middle of Cincinnati and Dayton.
Awesome.
So it's 30 minutes from each. It's a town all about the size of 50,000, so a little bit bigger than Chillicothe.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
That's a pretty big school.
We have a couple schools. So I went to the Catholic school, Bishop Fenwick there, but our high school, or the town's high school is Middletown, and it's known for a lot of good athletes. Chris Carter.
Really?
Really?
When I was in middle school, Chris Carter was at Middletown High School, along with Sonny Gordon, who was the starting safety for the Buckeyes at the time.
That is amazing.
There were so many Buckeyes. People don't believe this. There were so many Buckeyes from Middletown back when I was in middle school that the spring game was played at our high school stadium.
Wow.
So now the
How
spring
cool
game's
is that?
A bigger deal. So
yeah.
Yeah. So it's good football town.
That's crazy.
Jerry Lucas, who's, you know, some people consider, I think he was in the top 50 NBA players. He's from Middletown. So a lot of good. Jalen Marshall, you know, that played for Ohio State last year. So
wide receiver.
Yeah, a lot of good athletes. But I went to the Catholic school, which back then there were five classes, and we were Division V. We were small. But we were in a league where it was a public school league. We were the only Catholic school. And the league was made up of ones and twos.
Right.
So we actually, and this was back only when four teams would get in the playoffs, we made the playoffs once with a 4-6 record because we beat four Division I schools.
Wow. And back then, cow. You pretty much had to go 9-1, 10-0 to
get
in.
Yes, a lot of 10-0 teams that hated us because.
Right.
You know,
yeah, because you guys squeaking ahead. Yeah. You guys lost four games and beat them out. So.
Yes. So.
That's awesome.
Wow. Well, that is that's great.
This is stuff that I guarantee you, unless you know you have personally talked to people. About nobody knows this stuff.
Yeah, just my buddies I coach with.
Right. Yeah. This is awesome. This is stuff I didn't even know.
Yeah,
this
that's right. And now you know why he's a winner because he's from Cincinnati. So that it all makes sense now, man. Now, that's exactly it.
There's not much winning going on there anymore, but there used to be.
We're going to turn that around though, so we'll be okay. So, and you did play football and basketball. It wasn't just football, correct?
Yeah, I played a bunch of different sports. I played football, and this is something a lot of people don't know. I didn't play football until eighth grade. The only thing that I was probably ever elite at was soccer. And so I had always begged my parents to play. In eighth grade, they finally let me play as long as I continued to play soccer as well. And so the type of tradition we had, I remember we had gone a decade without losing a middle school football game.
Wow.
When I went out for football, I didn't know what to expect, you know. So I kicked on that team, but then I played running back and safety as well. And it was just I really loved it. But I still was, you know, like soccer was my thing. And so when I went to high school, my freshman year, I actually played one varsity soccer game. And
totally good.
Okay. When I started out at Fenwick, I actually didn't go out for the football team. I played one varsity soccer game and just realized I was at a football school. I just wasn't going to enjoy it. So I left the soccer team. They let me play football. I never played soccer again after
that. That's
awesome. We had really good tradition. It's something I hope eventually – Yeah, we've had good tradition in the 90s, and it'd be nice to have that back here because it's cool to be a product of that. And my school won a couple state championships when I was a junior. We played in the Horseshoe. We lost Newark Catholic.
People have lost Newark Catholic.
Yeah, wow. My junior year, we played against Bobby Hoyne and St. Henry. We shut them out. So I played on some really, really good teams. I was blessed with that. It was a cool environment, and it was an environment where you expected to win, every time you went out.
Wow.
That's awesome. And I said, that's, if we don't do this, nobody knows that.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. That's really cool all that.
I'm
a junkie about history anyways. I like to know,
Yeah.
I can't get enough of that stuff. So just knowing that you've done all that and seen all that and went to the same school as Chris Carter.
Same town.
He went
to public school.
Right.
I went to Catholic school.
Okay, well, yeah.
But they would have whooped us for sure.
That's crazy, man.
It is. Yeah. That is awesome, though. And
I got to be honest with you. I didn't know where you went to school at.
Yeah.
And that's kind
it's
of...
It's a small school.
That's kind
it's,
of embarrassing.
It's gotten bigger. Now they've disbanded that league. A lot of those schools got bigger, like Lebanon I think Mason might have been in the league for a while. Now they're huge D1, real big D1 schools. So my school's now in that Greater Catholic League in the middle division. So they in basketball, they have to play Molars and Xavier's. But now in football, they play like Chaminade, Julianne, and Alter. So it's a super competitive league. I believe, it's sad I haven't been back. But last year was the first time since I was in high school, they made it back to the state semifinals.
Okay, so I just want to transition since we talked about where you're from, where you went to school. Now, you went to High University, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when you went to High University, and I'll ask you why you went there first, but also you kind of stayed here, right?
Yeah. I went to OU. It was a random thing. I'd planned to either go to Indiana or to Ohio State, I remember my mom made me fill an application to Ohio University. I'd never been to Southeastern Ohio, so
really?
I didn't even know where it was. And a buddy and I drove over, senior year, and we drove through and fell in love with the campus.
Right, a lot of people say that.
So,
man.
We take it for granted, but I've been fortunate enough to see Harvard and Virginia and. A lot of beautiful colleges, but OU stacks up,
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah,
really
especially
is.
This time of year.
Yes,
really.
Yes.
And they
yes.
do a great job of keeping the history, the historic look there. I mean,
right,
everything.
Yeah.
I was told when they fixed those roads, they actually picked those bricks up brick by brick, fixed the road, and put them bricks back down exactly where they were when they fixed them brick roads in there.
Really?
Yeah. They don't mess with the history. They keep it all going.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's what I was told. So.
That school was only a year younger than this state.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It was founded in 1804. This state was founded in 1803. Think of that. I mean, that's the oldest school in the state of Ohio.
Yes. Yeah.
That is crazy, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after college,
yeah.
Where did you go after college?
Well, I went back to Cincinnati. I looked for a teaching job in social studies and couldn't find one. I did some substitute teaching Columbus City Schools and worked part-time job at Roosters and cooking chicken wings, and just kind of bounced around for a few months. And then I ended up, I landed a good job at a telecommunications company and went into sales in Cincinnati. And so I went from, it was a smaller company, and then I ended up transition. I worked at Cincinnati Bell for 7 or 8 years in sales and management there. And
that's a long time.
Yeah. So I started teaching late. I'm going to be teaching forever. I went back to OU for a homecoming and met my wife. We knew of each other in college, but but had never dated. And we had a mutual friend that set us up. So she's from Athens. She's a townie. So I married a townie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
you're stuck here for life.
Yeah, well, and the funny thing is that she wanted to stay in Cincinnati. Yeah.
Really?
Yes, yes.
So she wanted to leave the town then.
Yeah, wow. She did not want to come back. I just came home from work and said, we had, two babies, and I said, I can't, this job's killing me. I hate it. I'm just doing it for the money. I said, I want to try to get back involved with teaching again. She never thought, that I would do it. And then, lo and behold, I said, we've got young kids. Maybe grandma and grandpa can help us out with babysitting a little bit. Maybe we should go back. And again, she just, kind of entertained the conversation, never thought it would happen, and sent out a bunch of resumes. And this guy named Kevin Waddell was the only one responded back. And I can remember coming down for an interview in the summer. I was in a suit, and I can remember Mike Wagner being in short shorts,
Wagner in shorts.
And I believe Kevin Waddell was in shorts, too. And
a little overdressed for the interview.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was a little overdressed. And so
I don't think anybody wants to see Wagner in shorts. I can't get it.
So I was, it's the best job I've ever had. And
that's awesome.
What year was that?
That would have been in 2002.
Okay.
2002. So, and then that year, that summer, I coached for Joe Hemsley.
Right.
And we still lived in Cincinnati. So for 2 days, I would leave about 3:30 in the morning. Ooh. And it got to the point where I was sleeping at Lake Snowden. I was crashing at the in-laws. Wow. So that was a long summer, until we finally moved here in the fall. It's been perfect for me ever since. Now, my wife probably misses that money I made at Cincinnati Bell, but I don't miss that at all. So I feel very fortunate to have a job I love, and just it's easy to get up every day and go do.
Right. Awesome. And it worked out for us because, I mean, one, we got a good teacher, and two, what happened a couple years later, football team.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. That was
kind of perfect timing.
Never thought it would. Yeah, it was perfect timing.
Right.
It was really
good because
timing.
At that time we had kind of the same situation we were now. We had a lot of young kids, that played, when Hemsley was there, and a lot of talented young kids like we do now. And a couple years down the road,
it is similar. And just to give Coach Hemsley a lot of credit, I will say this year. The demolition process, wasn't complete. When Coach Hemsley took over, the wins didn't add up for him, but he instilled good work ethic.
Oh yeah,
and he cleaned up a culture that lackadaisical practicing and things like that.
Right.
So when he left and I took over, it was in great shape. And I will say this year. It's moved a little slower because we did have to clean up some things, and we're still in the process of doing it. But I think that we've made some sacrifices this year. I think that will pay off. I think we've got some kids that are going to grow up, because of the system we have in place now.
Well, that's good, and anybody that watches this team or has seen this team knows that we have talented kids.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We have good kids. That's the one thing
that
I'm most proud of is we're fortunate enough when the moms feed us before the games or the local churches. Everybody talks about how well behaved they are,
right.
Just the game against River Valley when they were personal fouls were flying. I knew our kids wouldn't do that, and we're not going to behave that way
now.
I know what you're bringing up.
I'm going to segue into this.
I know what you're bringing up now.
Because you mentioned something about it.
All right.
Not necessarily about what I'm going to ask, but similar. And we'll talk more about the team. I still want to talk more about what we have been. But since you said that, the Fairfield Union game, we have a little spat on the field, right? And we have a player ejected.
Yeah.
Hunter Nichols was ejected.
Yeah.
Okay. He comes over and sits on the bench. You walk out and talk to the referees, okay? What did you say to them to get him back in the game?
We were pretty impressed by that. And before you answer this, we've never seen refs change their mind.
Right. Usually, even if they're wrong, when they make a call, that's it.
The to be honest with you, when it happened, because I had a pretty good perspective, I thought we had two players ejected.
Okay.
I saw with Jaden, you know, what transpired there, and I thought, you know, it was a retaliation, and I knew – I actually thought both those kids,
Fairfield
Union and Jaden, would be –
all of us thought that, yes.
And I think there was extra stuff going on over there I couldn't see, and a lot of other people felt like they should have more players ejected.
Right.
Well, but I did see Hunter go sprinting into the melee.
Right,
and I just – the way it looked and the way he went in there so fast, I figured, you know, he got involved as well. So – as they all walked over, I basically, you know, gave both of them an earful because I just had the feeling they both were going to get ejected.
Right.
So then they came back to me and they said that Hunter was the one that got ejected, and he said he Hunter is he's a good kid. We have a good relationship and he said I didn't touch anybody, coach, and so. I went out and they weren't sure on the numbers, you know, and so. I said, was it a player involved in the play or was it a player not involved in the play? And the guy that kept saying he saw a punch thrown, and I don't know if there was a punch thrown, but it was something toward the face mask. You know? So and I never really asked Jaden about it. I said, you know, 44 wasn't involved in the play. He was away from the play. It wasn't him. I think you guys have the wrong guy. And so they talked about it again. And I thought it's got to be a dual ejection. You know, it's two people involved in this
thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was reacting. We know Jaden reacted. It wasn't like he started.
Yes. It was.
I'm saying it was right.
Very cheap. What that kid did to him.
Yeah.
And so then they came back and they said, you know, okay, you know, 44 is back in.
We let him back in the game after we kicked him out.
He had his shoulder pad. I told him to take shoulder pads and helmet off.
We were very impressed. That's all I'm saying.
Which I will say, you know, he in that game, I think he had a bad fumble, and he went through that. I thought he really responded well in that game after that play and made some big plays for us after that. So he showed a lot of resiliency. Yeah. Yeah, and I hated it for Jaden because, again, I know, you know, that he was tormented on that play.
Right.
And it was but I think that was one of those things. There's a learning moment for everybody on the team.
Right, and it's always the second guy that gets busted, you know, no matter what.
And they know. I mean, they know if they get a personal foul and it's the intentional type, you know, it's selfish, they're coming out.
Right.
And that's what's a little frustrating with River Valley is that The face mask on Aylin was ripped
right on the
sideline. That ripped his head off.
Right.
And then the hit out of bounds was so far out of bounds on Derek. It was good 8 yards outside of the sideline. So I felt like actually the one on Aylin should have been an ejection. But, you know, neither of the kids came out. So when we walked in, I told those refs at halftime, I said, my kids aren't going to get personal fouls, but I expect the next one out of them to be an ejection. And luckily there weren't any, you know.
Right.
So, but it goes back to we do have good kids, and I do think they're responding. And, you know, for a team that's 3-6 and frustrated because we thought we were going to be better than this.
Well, you've been in a lot of games.
Yeah. But I like our makeup still, and I really like our focus, and last week was one of our better practices. So I think we're going to have a really nice effort this week against Wellston.
We hope so.
Yes.
Awesome.
We always want to see that.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. And you know, I know by watching your first in here that you've always had teams that when they were maybe antagonized a little bit or somebody's trying to get somebody to do something dumb, they normally don't. They really hold their cool and you know, they're kind of even keel out there. They just do their thing, and that's what they do. So
yeah, I hope that never happens again, that we lose a kid like that.
Right.
And I think everybody learned, and obviously Jaden has learned from as well.
Yeah, that's
and,
good.
And he came back, and he's been a solid contributor since. So yeah. And he's a good kid, too. You know, that's another thing is that I don't want that single action to speak for who he is.
Right.
You know?
Well, and he's contributed a lot on
definitely.
The team.
Definitely. He's a big part of our success.
Exactly.
And personality-wise, he's actually kind of a quieter kid. I mean, I know Jaden. I coached him through the Little Vikes a little bit and seen him go through junior high, and he's not a very – I mean, great athlete. Kid's got authentic ability. But I've never seen him throw a punch on anyone ever. So that scenario in Fairfield was a pretty instigated scenario.
It was. So, yeah. It was.
So, yeah, he normally, like I said, I've never seen him do it. And I've seen him for 6-7 years playing football, never, well, not one time.
You know,
yeah.
You know them Lancaster boys, how they get.
The Lancaster boys, Stewart, yeah, Fairfield.
They got a drive-in movie theater, and they think they just run the world.
The drive-in movie theater. They do, though, don't they?
They do. They one do. Of the yeah. few remaining.
They grow true. Big, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, that's right. Okay, so I know Lugs has some questions about maybe this year's team and what we're going through in the future, but I want to ask you – sorry, Lugs.
Go ahead. No, you're good.
I want to ask you – couple questions about the past. You took over a program that at the time, the first time, 2003, you took over a program that had won three games, I think, or four games in the previous 3 years. I think it was four games in 3 years, maybe five. I don't know. Anyways, we came out of the 90s as if we lost three games, that was a terrible year. And then we go in this small little gap where we might not win three games a year.
Yeah.
And it was such a shock for everybody here because we had not had a losing record since 1986 or 85 to go all the way to 2000 and have our first losing record. And then two more on top of that. And then you step in coming off two wins. And in the first year, we go 6-4, should have been 7-3. We should have beat Chesapeake at Chesapeake. Those refs screwed us out of that one. I'll say that till I die.
That shocks me, your memory, by the way.
But we go down there, and we finish 6-4, and we kind of come out of nowhere. And then, obviously, the next year we go 8-2, make the playoffs, lose to Maslin, Canal Fulton Northwest out of Maslin. A very good team, made it to, I think, the semifinals that year. So how did you do – I mean, just explain that to me, because I can't for the life of me – that was the biggest one-season turnaround in this school's history. And how did you do that?
We had good players. We had this senior class that we have right now reminds me a little bit of that senior class that they wanted to win bad. They're willing to make whatever sacrifice. And I think that the key difference is we got that Rock Hill win, yeah, that year, and that really pushed everything going forward.
Yeah.
And we could, you know, Piketon and Fairfield Union, if we could have just stole, you know, that Piketon game, I think the rest of this year would have set up, you know, better for us.
Right.
But we just couldn't get out of the gate fast. It's been our problem all year long. And so we didn't get any early success. But, you know, I really thought looking at it, you know, when we looked, we knew the first half of the season was going to be super tough. And but I really thought those first three, we might be able to get two out of three of those. And so that's pushed back our development.
Right.
And I think, you know, if you talk to the coaches and the kids, we'd like to go back and start all over again.
Right.
And we think the results will be a little different.
Well, two of those first three games, two of those teams are fighting for playoffs.
They're good teams. We knew they were good teams then.
Yeah, and we competed with them.
Yeah, and you guys may have looked at it and seen that. We didn't think that they were going to be as good as what they are. I mean,
right,
we're sitting here halfway through the season looking back and saying, well, the teams we played only have like five losses combined. That's a lot tougher than we had originally anticipated.
Fairfield Union's in a real league.
Yeah, you know? MSL is a tough league.
It
yeah,
is.
It is. So
I just think, you know, going back to that group, again, it was they were desperate to win, and people made sacrifices. You know, I remember, like, I think Adam Howell was a I think he was a quarterback, you know, so we converted him to their guard and a linebacker. And so we had kids like that, and the other thing was that everybody, you know, we had depth so that they bought into the plan one way. And that's how we were able to steal a game like Rock Hill. So as we have more depth, I think when we go against these smaller schools, especially at the early part of the schedule, we'll be able to wear some teams down.
Right. And that's one thing that we're, obviously, you guys are focusing on a lot is to get the numbers.
Yeah.
I think back then, the first time around, you had 60 to 70 kids.
Yeah, I mean, my last year here, we started with 80.
Okay. I mean, if we had that now, that's...
I don't know if we'll ever see that again, you know. But it could, you know, it's a dangerous sport, you know.
It is.
Parents are concerned.
A lot of things have changed since then.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not underestimate that, but...
It would be it'd be great, you know. But I think that's we definitely got, you know, this year we're basically have hovered around 50. It'd be nice to be around 60 next year. And then, you know, we can really get competitive at the JV level, and we can have more competitive practices. Going back to the Nelsonville game the other night, it's hard to simulate how fast Mount is going off tackle. So when you see it for the first time live, we just couldn't adjust to it quick enough.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So I think if we get stronger with our second group in practice, then I think it will be more. We'll be well prepared on Friday night.
And I think 50 to 60 right now, just off of what I've kind of seen, is about the average in the league. These teams have about that many players on their roster. So,
yeah, that's 60 is a good number. I think 60 is a number you can work with. And then, and once you get 16, you can start putting some confidence in the kids. Next year, it goes to 70. You know, and then you get to 80.
Right.
You won eventually,
and the wins follow behind.
And you don't have to throw freshmen out there on Friday
night.
Yes.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
That's where we want to get to.
Let everybody stay with their own level, and that only helps the program as you move forward. Okay, one more thing I got on the first time around.
Okay,
I just want to know one game, one memory, one play. What stands out to you in those first 3 years of coaching here at Benton County?
The Wellston game in 04 was special.
Yeah.
You know, that you know, to have our backs against the wall. I remember we got there and Chris Bethel had forgotten to bring his cleats, so he was in tennis shoes, and Mom and Dad were running back trying to get into the field house to get his cleats.
Wow.
And he just that was just, you know, an unbelievable night, you know, to be down again. And that was a good team. You know,
Lance Phillips was
a stud. Coach Hinton was a great coach.
Yes, he was.
You know, and so it was just the battle, you know. So, you know, that was you know, we want these games to count like that, so these kids
right.
can experience
Oh, yeah,
that,
no doubt about it, especially against Wellston. But, I mean, they came into the game, they had already clinched the playoff spot.
Yes.
They had already clinched. They had no pressure on them whatsoever. Neither one of us were playing for a title because Nelson Bjork had already wrapped it up, essentially.
Yeah.
They had no pressure. We hadn't beaten them in 4 years. The last time we beat them was 99. It was supposed to be the last game of the old field, but ultimately it wasn't because we had to play first half of the 2000 season at Kenneke, and then we moved over there. But anyways, we hadn't beaten them in years. They had won two titles. I think if it was the two previous titles or if Nelsonville had won the year before.
I think Nelsonville had won. They'd really underachieved, to be honest with you. They had huge teams. You
right.
It looked like Division III college teams the years leading up to that.
Wow. But I do know that they had won two titles in that span. Wellston had won two titles in that span. I think the only time they'd won the TBC Ohio Championship, I don't know if they won it before. They probably did, but before the split. But, I mean, they had everything going. It was at their place. You know, we have to win to get into the playoffs. And, you know, clearly they had a lot of talent, and I just remember us going down there. Like you said, we were down. I remember I think Powell had a punt blocked early in the game, and I think they scored. They were up 6-0,
I think,
at halftime. And the second half we come out, we score, or maybe it was 7-0. I remember we scored and missed the extra point, and I think we were down by one. And it was in the fourth quarter. I think we were down 7-6. I think that's what it was. It was 7-6. And we score late in the game and get the two-point conversion and go up 14-7, and we hold on. And I remember dancing on their field like it was just jubilation because I knew we were going to the playoffs. And it was just the greatest feeling in my era's history. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm not taking anything away from you guys because I know what you did was awesome. But
yeah, the winning touchdown, we just kept running behind Charles Dunlap, who was just a force back
old
then.
And
Michael Barney, who's, you know, pound for pound one of the toughest kids, you know, that I've
and
ever
quick,
coached.
Very quick.
Yeah, and he scored on maybe 18, 20-yard run.
Right, and we had all kinds of running backs back. I mean, we had the speedster, we had the bruiser, and then we had Sean Avery, who could do everything.
Yeah.
So
– yeah, and Sean was, you know, that's the thing about that team. He actually had a high ankle sprain. Week 6 or 7 was never the same.
Yeah.
For that game, he played nose guard, you know, so we couldn't run him anymore. So he was banged up, and Matt Winnett, you know, never really – he broke his leg right before the season started, you know, and so we were kind of missing him. I think he played a little bit. But that was a good group, and you know, Greg Powell's, you know, one of the best athletes the school's had. You know,
good three-sport athletes.
I really think, you know, that class, good people too, The you know, when they look at the Hall of Fame, I think they really need to consider Greg Powell, Josh Uzley, and Chris Neal. You know, I'm surprised those guys aren't in there yet. And I mean, Greg Powell was one of the few kids I ever let play both ways. He was the best punter in the area that season, and stud basketball or stud baseball player. And,
yes,
and,
he was
and
a good
big player for Coach Combs that year on the basketball team.
All of those guys that you mentioned were three sport athletes. Neil went to the state in hurdles.
Yes. Wow. And
y'all know how good Bethel was on the basketball court. And you know, Powell, Uzley, our two best pitchers that spring. Uzley the ace, Powell, you know, the second pitcher on the team, and they were just great athletes.
Now I think Chris Neal, it just shows you how dumb a coach I was. But I think his junior year, we did not let him return punts because we didn't want him to drop it. Everything was fair caught. And I think he ran five back his senior year.
Yeah, he had a few. I remember. He had a few.
Something else.
Wow. Now, do you remember and this is the last, I swear, it's the last month's say, because I could sit here and talk to you about this for days. Do you remember the play at Rock Hill in week two where the Rock Hill quarterback turns to hand the ball off to the running back and Avery busts through the line, takes the handoff from him, and runs it back for a touchdown?
We talk about that a lot.
That was the greatest play I've ever seen in my life.
He's one of he was just a physical freak back then.
Their quarterback meant to hand it to him, man. He just takes it and goes.
He was so fast and so strong and intense and aggressive as well. So.
I'll tell you, we'd beat the crap out of that 91 team.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Okay, so go ahead, Lugs.
Pack of lunch, buddy. We'll
Wishbone ain't got enough. All right, go ahead and ask your questions here that you got. I know I kind of
I was in all of this. It's cool because you got such a link with him, you know, so the questions are awesome. I mean, you know, that's kind of great information, you know. I just came back from Phoenix back then, you know, so I didn't see a lot of the games and stuff back in 2004, I mean, that's super cool. And the way you guys remember it, I mean, it's like me in 91. I don't remember nothing from 90, but I remember everything from 91, you know. So, I mean, you guys really got the information. It's cool. So, I wanted to ask you just a few questions here, and I know a lot of things, and I've talked to Wall about this. I've talked to everybody about this, but we talk about concussions and the way the game's changed and how coaching is different now than it was in 2004. What is different? Because I know your philosophy is a lot more about working hard in practice and not hitting anyway in 2004, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
What has changed now for you that with all the rules and all the non-contact you have to have versus how you did things in 2004?
I think I've allowed Coach Yates and Coach Wall, you know, to convince me to hit more this year in practice. I think because we're younger and we're still, I mean, we're even this week we may throw out some new guys this week. So we're constantly trying to evaluate what the right mix is going to be. We didn't hit as much back then. We won't hit as much next year. Obviously with the concussions, you worry about it, but you know we have four trainers, so we've got a lot of sets of eyes on it.
There are practices too, right? That's not just
there are practices, and you know we rarely ever go at it to the point where we're tackling to the ground.
Yeah.
So you know, and philosophy wise, coaching, Back then we were wishbone, you know. We ran it a bunch, and then we tried to throw for big yards. This is more of how I grew up. I was in a run and shoot offense, and we had to fling the ball around to compete with the bigger schools.
Yeah.
So, you know, this when all this kind of came together, Coach Dunn and Coach Yates and Coach Wall and I all kind of sat down and I basically said, you know, that this is my vision. You know, is this something you think we can do? Is this something you guys are interested in? And we had a real good meeting, a couple hours, and then from that point, you know, Coach Yates he basically built our offense, and now Wall, you know, he manages the offense. So I do. The staff is so good this year. I do much less than I did my first stint here. I call very few plays, and I stay out of the way and let these guys do their job. So I'm more secure I have a lot more faith in those guys. We're on the same page, it's worked much better when we give Jason a lot of control on Friday nights and allows him to get in rhythm.
Yeah. Let me ask you, and just going into what you said there, like how much harder is it to evaluate in today's game? Because, like I said, it's probably not as bad for the skill players, but as linemen, how do you evaluate a lineman with when you're not allowed? I mean, what are you allowed, 30 minutes every 2 days or something in practice for contact?
Yeah.
How hard is it to evaluate players like linemen and the guys that need to hit in games? Is there more of a game evaluations to decide these things, or how do you do it in practice without the contact?
It's a little bit of both. I guess probably the practice time in the beginning of the years where we do most evaluation there. And then, you know, we watch these JV games and we keep looking for somebody to stand out. And we evaluate our film to see if it's, you know, personnel adjustment. And that's the hardest part of this job, I think, is when you have really good kids. We've probably got 7 or 8 kids that practice their butts off. And they're just not ready to play yet. And it stinks when you can't get them into the game. So I'm hoping with our off season that we get some kids stronger and bigger, and those kids can get out there finally on Friday nights.
Yeah, and I wonder. And I know, like I said, I talked to a lot of people as far as coaching philosophies go, and I know, of course, back when I coached, and I coached under Work 1 year, I coached under Queen a couple years, and you know, I mean, to find out how a kid was, you had a couple of days of hard hitting practices and you found out who the man was.
Yeah.
Now they just can't do that, right? No. I mean, you're not allowed. So now it's a whole different way to evaluate talent now, and it would be difficult, I would think. It'd be a hard thing to do.
And some look good in practice, and then once we get out on Friday night, you see they're not ready. So we've had some of that happen. So, and there are some kids that don't stand out in practice, and for whatever reason, they're just gamers. They get out there and play.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think like I said, I know even with Jaden, you know, as a freshman, you know, you see, like I said, we talked about this, he gets better and better and better every week, it seems like, too. You see that growth process. There's some kids you throw out there, some respond, some don't. I think Jaden's one of the ones, an example of a kid that responds when he gets out there, too. So, another question I had, and I know that we talk about how awesome the offense has looked all season and putting up 40 points a game, and even games that we're losing, they're fun to watch and they're entertaining. How do you evaluate this spread offense? You got one game left. We've had 9 games to look at this offense that no one around here has ever seen before. And how do you evaluate the offense now? I mean, do you like the offense? Is this what we're going to see for 3 or 4 years? Is it going to change? Or
yeah, this is we're committed to this. We actually tried this back in 2005, and we could not get a good snap gun or shotgun snap out of our center, and so we went under center. And then we tried to run similar system with split backs, and we got 4th string quarterback, you know, Justin Collins thrown into the game.
Right.
Had not practiced a snap, really, and then we end up with Ryan Stewart, who was a wide receiver that year. So we went back to the wishbone. We feel like now we've started to develop some of these quarterbacks behind. We can stay in this system, and I think, you know, one of the real bright spots on this team is Nick Pittman. He's a freshman, super, super reliable with snap.
Yeah,
so
he has been.
And we're gonna build on him, and he's one of those that we know he's going to commit to the weight room, and he's going to be a lot bigger and stronger, and he's going to be a beast for 4 years. So he's a big building block going forward. You know, I think we're going to adjust some of our blocking schemes. The running game hasn't picked up like we thought it would. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, it'll be variations out of what we're doing right now. And we're going to have some for this week, too. So we like where we're doing it. Obviously, it's exciting. It's kind of weird at practice when you only see 3 or 4 running backs and there's like 20 wide receivers over there.
Yeah.
But – And the freshman group, there's a nice group of wide receivers coming there. So we're going to have more depth at wide receiver. And I think our linemen will start to feel more comfortable with 2-point stances going forward after this year, too.
Yeah. It's definitely an exciting offense. And I know we every week we're like, hey, if nothing else, you get to watch us move the ball. And I think last year, that's something that kind of we struggled with, and it was a slow ground and pound offense.
Right.
And then this year, win or lose, you're entertained. You can sit in the stands, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah,
and
no doubt.
It's been a long time since we've been able to say that about Vinton County football, so it's definitely an exciting scenario. But
and a lot of that has to do with 15, too. He is a sensational talent, and obviously a school record holder, and next year is going to be even better. So I think we're going to get better next year, and the league's going to come back to us a little bit. So obviously we're excited to get Wellston this week, but we're excited for the future, too.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll let you finish with the final question I think we want to ask him, right? So, which I think we talked to him a little bit about earlier.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah, yeah, right. Last week we kind of had a teaser from Wall, and he wouldn't tell us anything about it. Now, we did talk to you before we went on air about this big plan that or whatever you want to call it, this kind of correlation between all the sports in the high school and it's kind of a big deal. It's going to be kind of under the radar, big deal, but it really could help out, you know, every program, football, basketball, baseball, everything, and everybody's on board with it. So if you will, just tell everybody what's going on here.
Yeah, our off-season program's going to change. We're hoping to get Jason Prater involved, who's been working with some of our kids up in Chillicothe, and he's done some work with Jackson. So we're looking to change how, you know, just like we change the offense, how we condition athletes, and it's not just strength and conditioning, but it's going to be nutrition as well. And so he's actually putting a program together for us right now, but we've had really solid cooperation from the other coaches in the building as well, Coach Combs and Coach Barrell, the new baseball coach, and Coach Linder, the track coach, who will be a big part of this off-season training as well. So we'll, for the first time in a while, we're going to have some early morning workouts for guys who are in sports that they won't lift on game days or if they have something else going on. But we'll at least have the field house open in the mornings before school, and then we'll have it open after 3 days a week after school too. So all that kicks off in January. But the kids that want to keep lifting once the season ends, I can't have any contact with them, but Coach Linder, who's hopefully going to be involved with the coaching staff next year for football, he's agreed to come in and work with some of those kids that they're going to be prospective track athletes as well. So we shouldn't miss a beat. The kids seem really excited to get after.
That's awesome, and that's going to help not only the football program, but it's going to help everybody across the board,
yes,
too. So.
Yeah.
I think that's a great thing, too, because – I mean, if sports are competing against each other, then one's going to suffer. So everybody being on board on the same page for the better of every program is only going to make each program better, too.
Right. Yeah. And the more and this is the way it was back when I was in school. The more that you hang around, like when I was a sophomore, I didn't play baseball. But I hung around a lot of baseball players. And they're constantly, you know, come play baseball. So I try out and I play my junior and senior year. And the more that they kind of intermingle with each other, and if you're a basketball player and if you're Tristan Bartow and you're in the weight room early in the morning before school and you're lifting and somebody, and not just him, but anybody as an example that plays basketball that doesn't play anything else, you know, a baseball player might be in there saying, hey, you need to play baseball this spring, you know, or a football player might say, hey, you need to play football. So it could actually benefit in that way too, where these kids kind of mingle with each other and kind of become friends, maybe more so than what they already are, and maybe some more players, more athletes come out and play at different sports, because I know that the baseball team can use some, because we've struggled quite a bit, which I hate because I love baseball, and I still go watch. I don't know anybody on the team. I don't know anybody on the team, or I'm not related to anybody, but I still go and watch them because I love it, but that's just me loving baseball.
I think baseball is going to get better. Yeah, there's a lot of good freshman baseball players in this class.
Yeah, there is.
And I met Coach Barrow, and he seems like a really good guy, you know. So like you said, you know, hopefully it benefits all the sports. And obviously, you know, weightlifting is a part of every sport anymore. You know,
yeah, it is.
Used to be, you know, basketball players didn't want to mess up the shot. But, these guys are all huge and strong.
Right, you have to be stronger. And there's a lot of times last year on the basketball court and the year prior that you can be physically outmanned on a basketball court.
You're right.
And, you know, there's a lot of years where you look at a player and think, man, if he just had like 20 more pounds of muscle on him, he could do whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the case. So hopefully it helps the football program, it helps the basketball program and the baseball program and anybody else that wants to come, because I'm sure it's open to anybody. If you're a golfer, you could probably go early in the morning and work out if you wanted to, I'm sure.
Golfers work on that 40 time.
Hey, I golfed, man. We were all right. We were pretty good. We weren't, you know, these Terry Hale legendary teams.
Oh, yes.
But we were, okay. Teams,
the pup era. The pup
era. We were okay.
So, that's awesome. That is great news, though. I think that's awesome. I think and any way you can get better help from anywhere whatsoever makes everybody a better athlete. So,
right.
I think opening doors up, letting AP Prep come in and help. I mean, like I said, everything's a positive. Everything helps out the kids. So, that's wonderful. Now, is that available for junior high kids as well, or is that just when they get into high school?
I think, you know, the incoming eighth graders, we haven't really hashed that out, but obviously we want them to start coming around when they're ready to. So I think, you know, hopefully we'll roll something out in January. I believe, Jason's going to come in that first week of January, so maybe we can include, you know, the eighth graders too.
And how does it work for, like, the kids? If they're playing basketball, you're saying this is in the mornings, right? So they can still do
a couple
basketball
days a week. I think Mondays and Thursdays we plan to open up the field house in the morning, so a little bit.
So they'll do it on off game nights.
Yeah.
Because they play Tuesday and Friday.
Yeah, so we're hoping to have a good crowd. We're just hoping, you know, to accommodate it. You lose a little bit of that atmosphere of the whole group working out together, but the bottom line is we just want them in there getting stronger.
Right.
You know? So, and that's you know, when we look at our defense this year, we're not as strong as most of the teams we play.
Yep.
And so we know it's got to take place in the weight room, and I know every coach says that, but I think committing to a new system, a modern system, you know, and Jason carries a lot of credibility. We're hoping.
He does.
I mean,
he's got a kid playing D1 college football right now.
Well,
you know,
Curdy, but yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
never mind.
But
they're the same thing. They're the same. Curdy and Jason,
right?
Thing, so.
Right.
But he's got a lot of other kids there training that are D1 athletes.
Exactly.
You know,
and good results from most of them. And I think Hunter's one that went all summer, correct? And then Hunter's made a lot of progress this year.
Yes.
I mean, a really contributor this year on defense and offense. You know, so I mean, you see it. You see it out of kids.
But. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I mean, it's just great news. Yeah.
A lot of good things to look forward to over the next few years with that and the talent that we have. And you know, you talked about the league maybe coming back to us a little bit. I think the top two teams in the league lose quite a bit after this year, and you could see the teams on the lower end of the scale this year, you could see it flip-flop.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question about it. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward. I know we still got one game left this season, and we'll talk about it later.
Game.
But yes, that's right.
It could be 0-9 right now, and this is still
right,
the epic game.
Right.
So, you know, this
you're
is
not,
it. This
but,
is
right. but if you look ahead, I think that we've got some brighter days ahead of us. I think we're going to be pretty good.
And so. I think, too, you know, and I haven't said enough about it, but this is a great staff. You know, I mean, I've mentioned Nolan and Jason, you know, they've done a good job offensively. And you know, Coach Dunn's not going to he gets all the blame because he runs the defense, but nobody works harder than Brian Dunn. He watches more film than all of us. And every week, you know, he's trying to make these kids better. And we told him up front, day one, when we put the offense together, we said, you probably got the worst job on the staff because we're going to score fast and they're going to come right back at you.
Right. Yeah.
So, and Rich Mendez has done an excellent job with the wide receivers. And then, Coach Olson and Tony Lamb do a terrific job with the younger guys. They've made it fun. And the JV's done exceptionally well this year. So I'm very fortunate to have these guys. We just good chemistry, you know, in the locker room and in the coach's office.
Well, to piggyback off of the Dunn thing, that's something we've said throughout the season. When the offense is on, the defense is going to be on the field a lot.
Yeah.
When the offense is off, the defense is going to be on the field a lot. So the defense is going to be on the field a lot regardless of whether we're scoring a bunch of points or not.
Yeah.
So it does. And I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. Our defense is on the field all the time. I know how much that affects NFL teams, let alone high school, you know, teams conditioning wise. So,
and with injuries, we just haven't had the depth we wanted on defense. So I think next year, you know, you're going to see more kids playing. I think we'll be better conditioned, you know, to play.
And that's going to start January 1. So
yeah.
That's right.
So that's we're going to have to wrap this up. I know I can go on.
Yeah, we can go on for a long time. This has been 50 minutes, by the way. So,
really?
Yeah, so if we don't just shut up, it's going to go for a long time.
Jeez. Okay, so that's awesome.
Okay.
Thanks again.
Thank you, guys.
This
has
been
great. A lot of fun. It's a privilege.
We're going to come right back and wrap up the show with the
we'll do the regions and the player of the week.
Yeah, do we want to? Yeah, okay. We'll be back. Yeah.
Okay, we'll be back.
Welcome back to episode 10.1 of the Viking Red Zone Podcast, brought to you by J&K Contracting. One call does it all, 698-3521. We are going to get into the coveted VCVikings.com Player of the Week here. We'll let you read the guys on the ticket, their lugs, and then we'll give the winner for week 9. It's going to be kind of a quick segment, though, because we spent so much time last time with Gage. We're going to have to wrap this up because, you know, he's a busy man. He's got interviews and other stuff to do. So we'll read.
Letterman, is Letterman still a thing? I don't know.
Letterman retired. Letterman. It's okay. Somebody else now. Yeah. I don't stay up that late. So
yeah.
Go ahead and read the names.
Okay. All right. Week 9's Player of the Week. We've actually got four guys on the list this week. Trafford Dunn, Dave, we haven't had on there before, had a nice game, three tackles in that game, was actually second on the team in tackles. So Seth Bledsoe had 2.5 tackles, 1 sack, had 1 tackle for a loss in the game. Good game from him. I don't think we've had him on the list either yet.
So.
William Amodio, 2 tackles and a big fumble recovery in the game. Great job by him. And Jaden Spires, who, of course, we have had on the list, he had 2 receptions, 12 yards, 4 kick returns for 104 yards and 1 tackle, and also his kick return was 57-yarder. I believe that was our first drive of the game, correct?
That was the first kickoff.
Big excitement there. He did that. The crowd goes crazy. We're kind of thinking, yeah, this is going to happen. And then I think we ended up. Did we turn it over? I don't remember what we did on that drive, but
down.
Yeah, we turned it down.
Yeah. So. Yeah, anyways, this was definitely, it was Nelsonville week. We knew it was a tough week, so the stats aren't mind-boggling or anything on this
one. Well, that and the weather, you know, had a little bit of a
factor. We had some bad weather, too. So we're just going to get right into it, and we'll just cut this one off. So this week's Player of the Week was Jaden Spires. Big 57-yard return, and I think this week was a week of people were kind of looking at who had the biggest play.
Right,
you know, the week is what this kind of boiled down to. And I think that 57-yarder on the first drive felt like a good play to kind of get us rolling on the game.
Right,
so I think people kind of grabbed a hold of that one. Good job. Amodio's fumble recovery I thought was an awesome play, too. And Trafford Dunn, some of his tackles were great tackles. A really good job by him this week, too. And I know even Hunter Nichols, I think, led the team in tackles. So good job from him, too. So these are the ones that we kind of thought stood out. But congratulations, Jaden Spires. Our Week 9 Player of the Week, that is his second time getting Player of the Week, by the way.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah, and it's been later in the season when he's getting it, and we've seen this freshman kind of step up and turn into a pretty nice little player
That's right.
So fun to watch him. Can't wait to see him in the next couple of years, too. So congratulations, Jaden.
All right, so that's going to wrap up 10-1.
Yep.
We'll be back Wednesday. Are we going to come out Wednesday?
We're going to come out Wednesday this week.
Okay,
yes.
So we're going to come out a day earlier than normal.
Yep.
Because our marketing strategist thinks that we need to come out on Wednesday instead of Thursday because we feel like we might get more more downloads a day earlier.
That is true.
So we'll see you all Wednesday. Thanks again, Coach, for coming in.
We will have
you back.
Great.
On Thursday for a couple segments.
I got to give one more shout-out.
Give the shout-out. Oh, yeah.
The volleyball girls.
Volleyball girls are awesome.
I and, again, this is the cool thing about this episode. I know we love our football, so we're 99% football. But the podcast gets so many requests from all these other people that they want a little bit of a shout-out on the radio. We're all about Vinton County Athletics and the positive and bringing the good things here. So whoever we can give a shout-out to, we'll happily do it. So 7th grade girls finished 14-0. They're coached by Carrie Graves. They went to the tournament. They won their tournament.
Aunt Carrie.
Aunt Carrie, which you're related to. That's right. So we just want to give a shout-out to the girls on that roster. 7-0 is an amazing accomplishment from the 7-0 girls. So the girls on the roster are number 4, Cam's in. Number 5, Emily Phillips. Number 7, Riley Sprague. Number 8, Sydney Smith. Number 9, Lacey Ward. Number 11, Kerrigan Ward. Number 12, Tegan Bartow. Number 13, Taylor Houdershout. Number 15, Lacey Williams. Number 17, Micah McFadden. And number 20, Riley Ousley. And we just want to give them a shout-out and say congratulations on your undefeated season.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is an awesome job from you guys. And I know we talked about them on Thursday's episode last time, and they yelled at me because they wanted to hear it on Monday. So you are on our Monday episode. We're giving you your shout-out, and we're super proud of you guys. Keep up the good
That's
work.
That's right. So. Lugs, you know more than anybody, going undefeated is not easy.
It is not. Yeah. And I've said this, and again, it takes a lot of luck to go along with a lot of skill to go undefeated.
And especially for these girls because they didn't play a TVC Hawking schedule like you did.
Yeah, that's right. I know, so. Yeah.
So. Congratulations, seventh grade. We expect you to win out your entire career here. No pressure.
Yeah.
You have like 100 games left.
That's
Don't lose one.
It's all just getting started. So
good job. That's going to finish the show. We'll be back on Wednesday with more.
Okay.